Good morning and Happy New Year. It's a beautiful day for the 5th of January. We'll take as many of these as we can get. So welcome. God bless you. January the 5th. Tomorrow, the 6th of January, is what we call Epiphany Day. That is always the 6th of January, just like Christmas is always the 25th of December. And Epiphany is really about the coming of the wise men. So that's why we're going to sing We Three Kings as our opening hymn this morning. But before we get to that, I have some other announcements to go over with you. First, if you see in the bulletin, why we just praise the Lord for the Christmas Eve offering and the Christmas Day offering, praise the Lord. What wonderful gifts, especially the one to our care center. Thank you all who were here that day and gave. Things are going well down there. We're just gaining right along, and so it's wonderful to see. The ladies, women of the church, your annual business meeting will be 2 weeks from today after church on the 19th. Today after church, the Christian Ed Committee and whoever else wants to help will be taking down the tree, the greens, and everything. And so those of you that have given poinsettias in memory of loved ones, thank you very much. It just is beautiful. If you'd like to take that home today afterwards, you sure can. We do have some white trash bags to cover them. Some of the larger ones might not fit in there, but it's not too cold out really today. So the trays underneath, those really are supposed to stay here at the church, okay? We use them for next year. So you can do that afterwards. The end of the month, January 26th, will be our annual meeting. As always, it's at 1 o'clock, and we will have lunch here at the church. Right after church, we'll have lunch for everybody. Then we'll have the annual meeting at 1 o'clock. And with that, on the back side of your bulletin, you see these denominations to the consistory. And these are from the consistory, and as it says, there can be nominations from the floor. But the first one, Steve Pressler, has been nominated as elder, and he will be, well, that position is for Brian Gehring's term. Brian is finishing up 6 years as elder. Steve has been nominated. Will you stand, Steve? Probably most know who you are, but in case not, thank you for being willing. And Steve Huber has been finished first term as deacon, nominated for second term. Mark Anderson finished first term as deacon, nominated for second term. Let me say, on the table in the social hall there on the west side, there's a lot of pie plates, probably from soup kitchen. I guess there haven't been pies being made, or else you have enough other plates, probably. Anyway, so see if any of that's yours. Other containers out there. There's four of those large pickle jars. They have names on the lid, but those individuals do not want them. I know there's some of you that use those large pickle jars, so take them, please. Otherwise, they'll go to recycling. Also, if you had any white gift boxes left from Christmas, like what a shirt or a sweatshirt might come in, those gift boxes. If you don't want them, we'll take them for Vacation Bible School again, which isn't till May, but we do use those. Lastly, I believe I just want to say again a big thank you that since we didn't have church last Sunday, for all that work hard and volunteer to make that Christmas Eve program and service happen. It is just incredible, I think. And that takes, yeah, a lot of people. Teachers, piano players, directors, parents, the meals, just the Christian Ed Committee. So, but it's such a beautiful night, so thank you very much. The rest of the announcements, which I went over most of them, please read as you have time. And let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, again it is with joy and excitement that we enter your sanctuary, that we come before your throne with gladness in our hearts. I think of the psalmist. We went through these, Lord, earlier this year when David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And so here we are, standing in your gates. And what a how wonderful it is, Father. There's no other place we would really rather be than right here with you. And as we start out our new year of 2020, Lord, here we are. 20 years ago, with this year seems so far away, and it's flown by. And Father, on this New Year's Day, we want to present our bodies before you as living sacrifices, as you tell us to do in Romans chapter 12, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. And so individually and corporately, we do that, Father. We ask that you would shine brightly through us, through our lives, through our words, through our actions, throughout this coming year of 2020. Lord, you already know what it holds. We don't. Certainly we hope, weather-wise, it'll be a relief from what we endured last year, but you have been faithful because you are the faithful one. And so we commit this year to you in the life of our church. Lord, help us to honor you always in our decisions, as best as we are able. And we anxiously look forward and await your second coming. We look forward to the rapture of the church. Help us always to be ready. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, our opening hymn is 288 in the hymnal. Let's stand together as we sing this, We Three Kings. Okay, we will have our sharing of joys and concerns here. And I have lots of things written down. Certainly our little ones, little babies, we've had three in the congregation that have had this RSV, that virus. So I want to continue praying for Nora Miller. She's come a long ways, but I was talking to Tyler. I guess she sort of had a rough night last night again. For Laura Wilcoxon, she's doing better. And Raylan Bent is coming along too, better. All right, but keep praying for them. Must be a lot of that going around now. Jeff and Erica King. Erica had a little baby boy on New Year's Eve afternoon. His name is Montgomery Allen King. So now where are you guys at? I saw you come in. Michelle? What? I never did get his weight and stuff. Do you know or not? 6 pounds, 13 ounces? Okay. 3 feet long? I'm just teasing. We praise the Lord for a healthy little guy, that's for sure. We'll continue to pray for Jeff and Erica. Okay, let's see here. So Cheryl Dubs, she was in the hospital for a week, really, up at McKinnon, got to come home yesterday, just had lost blood. They had to give her 2 pints, I believe it was, and running lots of tests to try to figure out what was going on. She is feeling better and did get to come home. Not sure they totally have an answer yet, but continue to pray for Cheryl. Also, Janice Lair, that would be Elton's wife. They live just right here in that first house. Janice passed away on New Year's Day that afternoon. Her funeral service will be tomorrow at 10:30 at Grace Lutheran Church. Visitation is this evening at the church from 5 to 7 with a prayer service at 7. So be praying for Elton and the family during this time. Also, our Elmer Zabe went home to be with the Lord last night, just before midnight. He had been back here at the care center for a week and a half on hospice. So I don't have any details as far as that service yet, but be praying for his family as well. I want to make sure I get what I have down. And prayers for Lee and Pat Palmerville, both. Lee's got a bad cold going on, which really is more of a serious issue with other things that he has going on. So he's at home, and we want to be praying for them. Oh, it's my shadow. Thought somebody was behind me. Like, who's there? It's not a bat. Okay, anything else? Dawn.
I would love prayers for my mom. She's got some really horrible neighbors, and she got threatened the other day. They told her she didn't get back in the house. They were going to shoot her.
Oh, my.
And she called the sheriff, and they're like, it's not a threat. It's like, we can call that out.
Yeah. Is she in Florida, was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's wanting to move out. Yeah. She just can't yet.
Okay.
Spring or
okay. Prayers for Dawn's mom, who lives in Florida and has had some neighbors threatening her life. So we pray for her safety. What was her first name again?
Carol.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else over here? Okay. Here's some hands. Ellie.
It was Cody's birthday on December 30th.
Cody Fisher's birthday was December 30th. All right. Happy birthday, Cody. And Jeff Nuss. Linda Nuss's birthday is today. Happy birthday, Linda. And Trent. Laura Crick's birthday is on Tuesday. How old are you going to be, Laura? 6. All right. Happy birthday. Okay. Travis. Yeah, happy birthday to Travis Seiler. What's that? And good football games to enjoy. That's right. All the Vikings fans. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And we want to.
Go ahead.
OK. Okay, we want to say thank you to the congregation for the Christmas gifts, certainly. Wonderful, wonderful blessing. Thank you very much. Did I see a hand over here or no? I guess not. Okay, all right. Let's pray then. Heavenly Father, thank you again for such a beautiful day. Weather, the first of our year. We just enjoy it so very much. And Lord, we thank you for these birthdays, yesterday and today and the past week and in the coming week and probably others that weren't mentioned, but we ask your blessing upon them all, Father. They are special to every one of us. We thank you for Jeff and Erica King, a new healthy little baby boy, Montgomery, that you blessed them with on New Year's Eve day. Lord, thank you for this little guy. For health and life and strength to them. And I know to him, I know the whole family is rejoicing and we are too. Thank you for watching over him. And for these other little ones, under a year and maybe over, but this RSV that's going around, Lord, let your healing power flow through each of these, Nora and Laura and Ray Lynn and maybe others. I think Cooper had it too. Father, we thank you for just healing throughout their lungs and their bronchial tubes and the whole respiratory system, Father, that you have created them with. Let there be health and life and strength to them. And be with the parents also, Lord, as it, I'm sure, involves up at night quite a bit. So give them strength as well. Father, we want to pray for Elton Lair and the family at Janice's homegoing, and also for Elmer Zabe's family, Jeff and Patricia, and the other family members. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. Your word tells us we don't have to sorrow as those who have no hope, because you've given us over and over again your scriptures that promise us eternal life in Christ alone. And so be with these families and comfort them during this time. Lord, thank you for Cheryl Dubs as she was able to come home yesterday. Let your healing work in her for both Lee and Pat Palmerville, especially Lee right now. We pray for healing throughout his body and strength to him, Lord, and Pat as well, both of them. Father, we thank you for our nation. We lift our nation up to you, Lord. Thank you for our service men and women serving here at home and abroad. Lord, those that were able to come home for Christmas, what a blessing that was. Those that weren't, we thank you for watching over them. Especially we pray, Lord, over the Middle East and that part of our world and all that's going on there. Thank you for giving our president wisdom in decisions to be made, and our military advisors, and the amazing things they are really able to do. It truly is incredible. We pray, Lord, for safety over all of our troops, over our nation, Father. And as always, I pray for the outpouring of your Spirit upon us, Lord Jesus, for a great awakening. Lord, we've read about these happening over the past in our nation's history. And certainly in our minds, it would seem we are ripe for a great awakening of the Spirit of God. And we ask for that, Lord, and thank you for it by faith. We pray for Israel, Lord. Those that bless Israel, you said you will bless and prosper us. And we thank you for our friendship with that tiny nation. And I know your hand is upon it. Your word says so. Keep them safe, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read from Philippians chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. It says, "And my God will supply all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." That's the phrase you're going to be hearing a lot about for the next month. In Christ Jesus. To God, to our God and Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen. And we will sing the Lord's Prayer today in place of the doxology when that time comes. Let's receive the offering. Stand, please. Adore him, Christ the Lord. There are many ways, Lord, for us to worship and adore you. And one of those ways is through our giving, which is a very much part of who we are. So we bring these gifts in faith. The first fruits of our increase we give by faith to you for your kingdom, for the advancement of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That people, that all can know, Jesus, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. That no one comes to the Father except through you, as you have said. So thank you for this privilege and this act of worship in Jesus' name. And Father, we confess our faith together now through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Jennifer, for the beautiful music. The children can come, please, for the Kingdom Kids time.
Good morning, boys and girls. How are you all today?
Good.
Go ahead, you can sit down. There's places right over there. Well, we just celebrated what?
Christmas.
You had 2 weeks off of school. You got lots of gifts, right? And food. Did you have lots of food? Did you get to go on a vacation? Some did, some didn't, right? Did you get some new clothes maybe?
Yeah.
Some did, some didn't. Did you see any relatives, any parents or grandparents? Yeah, that was a lot of fun, wasn't it? Well, now, vacations are over, right? We're starting school tomorrow. Good, everyone's happy? Yes, yes, yes. Our grandparents that live far away, they might be gone, right? I mean, they're back and we're back home. Food's probably gone. Candy's all eaten up. But we still have the greatest gift that we got. And who is that? Jesus, God's son, Jesus. When we accept him into our lives, he becomes our Lord and our Savior. And I know that we say this a lot. We always talk about this, but we need to talk about it because sometimes we forget. So what are some of the things we get when we ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior? What do we get? Just tell me.
Forgiveness
for our sins.
Pray.
We get to pray and have that relationship with God, always listening to us.
We get loved.
We get faith to grow, to believe God, what he says in his word. Hope. Healing, lots of things we get, right? Many, many, many gifts. But sometimes I think that we forget about this. We forget about what we have. Or we don't always understand it to the fullest because I think if we did, we would act like it, right? We would go around and we would act like it. We would act like we're forgiven, and so we forgive others. We would act like we know we're loved, so we love others. We would act like we know that we're given many things, so we give. Not just when we're at church, right? It's easy to do this at church. It's easy to do it at Sunday school because we're all doing it, right? That's right. But what should we do with what we've got? So what should we do with it? Use it. Share it. Very good. Those are things. Pastor Mike's going to be talking about a new series called, I'm not sure if this is what he called it, Who We Are in Christ? That's right. Okay, it's something like that. And in Philemon chapter 1, verses 6, in the New Living Translation / the English Standard Version, it says, "And I am praying that you will put into action." That means do it, right? Put into action. Do it. "And share the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand it and experience all the good things we have in Christ." So we have to understand what we have, and then God wants us to share it, right? And this is like this little boy here. I have a little boy here. And he is a Christian little boy. And he goes to church, knows Jesus loves him, excited, and he wants to tell others. He's right there. But he doesn't know how because he says there's too many people. There's too many people. There's so many people that don't know about Jesus, and he just doesn't know how he's going to do it. And especially there's another boy that he doesn't know who this is, but he knows that there's lots of people out there, and he doesn't know. This boy is sad, and he doesn't have Jesus. He's down here. So this boy's thinking, how can I do it? What do you guys think? How can he do it? How can he share with this little boy he's not even near about Jesus? Ask for help. That's a good thing he can do. Any other ideas what he can do? Don't kick the table. please don't kick the table. Well, this is what he can do. He can tell the boy or girl next to him about Jesus. And then that person can tell another boy or girl, and another, and it can just keep on going all the way back to this little boy. It kind of sets off a chain reaction like this. Ready? So see, he didn't have to tell this boy about Jesus because he didn't even know him. He told others. Oops, I don't have my pen. And eventually it got to him. Is that pretty cool? That's another one. So this little boy now, he's a Christian, and guess what he's going to do? What's he going to do? He's going to find somebody. He's going to find somebody that doesn't know Jesus, that doesn't know that God's forgiven him and loves him. And he's going to tell that person and sets off the reaction. And there, that's how the word is spread all over the world. And it starts one by one. So I'm going to challenge you guys to pray for somebody. Ask God who it is that he would want you to share Jesus with. And I'm going to do it too. And then I'm going to ask you sometime, do you have somebody? Did you share with somebody? And the word's going to go around. For God so loved the world, right? Okay, let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you that you help us through the Holy Spirit to understand what we have in you. And we thank you that as we learn from Pastor about what he's going to teach us and what we're going to learn from the Word of God, that you help us to understand it. And you help us to put into action what we learn, what we have, so that others can know about your love and about you. As these boys and girls go back to school this week, help them to be a blessing to others. Help them to serve, to give, to pray, and to share about you. And bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. You've got your papers.
Thank you, Anne. We're going to sing Isn't He, number 254. We'll sing this through actually twice. I forgot to mention one person. I want to do it before I pray here. Phoebe Wagner, she's in the care center at Freeman, and she's had a tough week for sure. Not in the hospital, but a virus that she's been struggling with. So be praying for her and Laverne too, of course, who's here this morning. Okay, let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. As Isaiah the prophet said, unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, the Everlasting Father. And that is you, Jesus. And you are wonderful and beautiful and majestic, and you are the one who is all-powerful and everywhere present. And Father, you are sovereign over all the earth, over all of creation, over all the universe. And all things are in your hands and happen according to your time. And so we trust in you in uncertain times. We know that because you live, we can face tomorrow. That because you live, all fear is gone. And we praise you for it. And we find this from your word. And so as we look into it again today, thank you for speaking to each of our hearts and minds. I ask, as always, Lord, that you would speak through me to those gathered here by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Philemon. Philemon is how I say it. If you listen to Anne, she said Philemon, and that's the other way you say it. Either way is fine, right? This is just one chapter, a letter from the Apostle Paul to this guy Philemon, Philemon. So what's happening here, just real quick before I read it, Paul is in prison in Rome. It's his first Roman imprisonment. He's writing back. This guy Philemon lives at Colossae. So he's writing a letter to Philemon individually. He's writing a letter also to the church of Colossae, which we have as the book of Colossians. And Philemon was very an influential man. He also was a slaveholder, and he had a slave named Onesimus, who you're going to hear me read about, okay? Starting in verse 1. Do we have that, or we don't have that, Caden? Maybe, no? Well, I'll start reading. Okay. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith, so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold in order to order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner for Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner for Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Okay, so as as Anne said, yes, starting out here in this new year, we're going to be looking at who we are in Christ. I actually had to look back how long ago it was when I did a series on this here, and it was in the year 2007. That's a long time ago. 13 years ago. I maybe have shared little bits and pieces of stuff, but as far as going through it, I have not. And I've for a long time wanted to, and so here we go. It is important. I have to say that in my walk with the Lord, not that I have arrived, not that I am anything great by any means, but it was when I went to college, actually, that this became real and true to me of who I am in Christ. And if there was anything, not anyone, because Jesus, of course, changed my life and our lives forever, but if there's any truth of teaching in God's word that I would have to say has affected my life more than anything else, it has been learning who I am in Christ. And I'm not just saying that flippantly. You know, you hear some of the TV and radio ministries and preachers, and there's a lot of good ones out there, and I get a lot of mailings from them. And there's some that it's like about every 4 months, here comes a new mailing. Buy this series based on whatever, whatever. It'll totally change your life. And then it goes on, and then maybe 6 months later, and here comes another series. Buy this series and it'll change your life. And I'm thinking, okay, how many series of these do we have that are going to change my life? Well, all of God's word does. But it's like, everything that's coming out, this is what you need. It's going to change your life forever. Well, you know, I'm not one that says that. But I am saying that today, okay, about this, who you are in Christ. Knowing it, Paul in verse 6 there, which is really the theme verse of mainly what we're going to focus on today, Paul praying for Philemon, for these other people mentioned, he says, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. That phrase. Do you have a full understanding of who you are in Christ? I even touch on this in confirmation, but it's only one lesson with the eighth graders, trying to get them to think about this. If I ever heard of it at that age, I sure don't remember hearing about it. Listen to the Amplified of that verse 6. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective and powerful because of your accurate knowledge of every good thing which is ours in Christ. So those two, they go hand in hand. The sharing of our faith, what Ann was showing with the kids with the dominoes, yeah, that becomes more effective as we begin to learn who we are in Christ. Because if we don't know who we are in Christ, what are we going to say? Well, who am I? I can't tell anybody about Jesus. I don't know how to witness to people. I don't know how to do this and that. I know. I was there. I was right there. Learning who I am in Christ was what helped me, along with the Holy Spirit, to bring me out of my shyness, which the older ones all know how that was. That was a big part, because I began to see, you know what? It's not about me. Me thinking, I can't do that, which is what I thought. Learning who I am in Christ is what helped me then and helps me today to try and get through some of this stinking thinking. You know, we get these ideas about ourselves, and I'm just thinking, I forgot to pray about your mom there. Sorry, but we will be praying for her. My stinking thinking, yeah, I can't be in the ministry because I can't talk in front of anybody. My stinking thinking I can't pray for anybody because who am I? I'm nobody. How can me praying for somebody's healing, what, I can't do it? Right. But once I realized it's not about me, it's about Him, Jesus, and who I am in Him. That changes everything. Because when I put my hands to pray for somebody for healing or whatever need, it's nothing about me. Well, you're the preacher. You ought to do that. Yeah, that's what a lot of people think. Well, you're His children too, and all of you can do it just the same as I can. And I, if you're thinking, oh, no, not me, I was right there where you are many years ago. totally, until I begin to get a hold of this lesson. And so that's what we're going to be working on. This was Paul's prayer for Philemon. Here's a blank for you that are filling in. It was Paul's prayer for the church at Colossae. It is his prayer for all of us today as we live in the year of 2020. So I gave you a quick overview of this epistle of Philemon, but let me just jump back here first, okay? You've got some things to fill in. So Paul was writing this during his first Roman imprisonment, all right? He had a couple. The first Roman imprisonment was actually, he was just under house arrest there in Rome. He had it pretty good, other than being in prison, okay? He was sort of under house arrest. The second one, that was a lot rougher. So he's writing it from there in the year AD 60, okay? Same time he was writing the letter to the church of the Colossians, okay? This letter to Philemon and the letter to the Colossians were probably delivered by the very same person at the very same time. So Philemon, I said earlier, he was a Christian brother. He was a slaveholder. He was very influential in that city of Colossae and that church. Who is Apphia? Most likely his wife, it is believed. The Amplified Bible actually brings it out that way. She was his wife. Who's Archippus? That's the pastor of the church of Colossae. The church met in his home. So Philemon had this slave named Onesimus. And at some point, Onesimus had escaped from Philemon and traveled all the way to Rome, which would have been 1,500 miles. Think about that, 2,000 years ago. That was not an easy journey over land and sea. He escaped, traveled all the way there, hoping to live a life of freedom. And somehow, as he got to Rome, he came into contact with Philemon. He came into contact with the Apostle Paul. Now, he had probably been familiar somewhat with Paul because Paul was a good friend of Philemon. Okay, hope I'm getting these names right here. Yeah. So Onesimus escapes, travels to Rome. At some point there, gets connected with the Apostle Paul, who Paul shares with him the gospel, and Onesimus gets saved. He becomes a Christian, and now he is ministering and helping the Apostle Paul there in Rome when he's in prison under house arrest. What? Paul, he actually lived in some type of small apartment, whatever that would have been, but he could not leave. So he needed people to help him, to bring him food, to bring him whatever, to take messages here and there. And that's what Onesimus came to be, his helper, very dear to him. And so Paul's saying, back to verse 8 here, Paul's saying to Philemon, therefore, although in Christ, now let me say this, starting in the book of Acts, all the way through, Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and on through, you have to watch for the phrases in Christ, in him, if it's referring to Christ, in whom, if it's referring to Christ, through him, right? Those are the phrases that tell you who you are and what you can do in Christ. Philippians 4:13, that's always a favorite of the confirmation kids when they have to pick that verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I am more than a conqueror in him who loved me. Okay? Those are what we're going to work through one by one, Sunday by Sunday, as we go through this. So, okay, back to this. Therefore, although in Christ, Paul's saying, I could be bold to you, Philemon, and I could order you to do what you ought to do about Onesimus. Yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, Paul, as an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, he's in prison literally, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in prison in chains. Why does he call him his son? He's a son in the faith. Paul had the privilege of praying with the slave Onesimus and leading him to faith in Christ. And that is why he is saying about Onesimus, he is my son. Formerly, he was useless to you, Philemon, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. You know what Onesimus, his name means? It means useful. Useful, that's what his name is. Paul says, formerly he was useless to you. Why? As a rebellious slave, he ran away, he escaped, took off, he wanted freedom, as any of us would. But as I said, when he got to Rome, at some point in there, connected with Paul, he repented of his sin, he received Christ, he now became obedient to God, and he was useful to Paul, and he was going to be useful to Philemon. And so Paul says, verse 12, I'm sending him, Onesimus, who is my very heart. Wow, what a compliment from the Apostle Paul to this guy. He is my very heart. I'm sending him back to you. I would have liked to keep him, so on, so on. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent. See, Paul's doing the honorable thing here, isn't he, in this relationship. So that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good. Listen, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man, as a brother in the Lord. Wow. What was Paul's advice here to Philemon now about Onesimus? You have got to see him differently. Paul was telling Philemon, you, when he comes back, you have got to see him differently than you saw him before. He is not your slave any longer. He is your brother in the Lord. He is going to be useful to you in many, many more ways than what he was. Now you think, we go back to those terrible days in our nation of slavery and how it was, and there were many Christian people that owned slaves. And some of them treated them horribly. Those shows are difficult to watch, aren't they? For me, they're very difficult to watch. Even coming up to World War II, Ann and I think it was New Year's Eve, we just stayed home. Watched this movie, Revenge, is that what it was called? I think Revenge. That sounds good, doesn't it? On Netflix, World War II, was in the country of Belarusia. We're thinking about Marina. And when Nazi Germany had come in there and occupied, and of course, they're just slaughtering the Jews by the thousands, tens and hundreds of thousands, just because that is their race. It just... very difficult to watch and comprehend, isn't it? It shows the sinfulness of man and what we can do to one another. And anyway, well, I didn't want to talk about the movie, but it shows how there must be a lot of forest there in the country. They went and they hid out in this forest to escape the Nazis. And Jews from all around were hearing about it, and they'd come. And of course, as it goes, yeah, the Nazis find them, but I won't go into it all. But, you know, and they almost starved, but they ended up living in there. It said, this is a true story. For 2 years, they built shacks to live in and even had a school and a little medical clinic hiding out there for 2 years. What I'm talking about this because slavery, that's how I got on it. Okay, if you're wondering, where are you going, Pastor Mike? That's where I'm going. Paul was saying to Philemon, you got to see this guy Onesimus differently than before when he comes back to you. You have to now see him as God sees him. All right, that is your blanks. I know I only gave you two, but they gave you three words. Okay. You got to see him as God sees him now, and that is as a brother in Christ. And that was going to take some courage for Philemon to do and would be a challenging. You know what? God's saying that to us today as we live. What I think all of us love the small rural life, the small communities, or we wouldn't be here. I certainly do. Love many, many things about it versus the big city. And if you love the big city, that's wonderful too. But what happens in the small community? What one of the drawbacks can be, we can tend to never forget what somebody has done and how maybe they used to live. And when they come to know Christ truly, know him in true faith, and want to live and serve for him, there's always some that, oh, well, I know what he used to be. You ought to know what he used to be. You know what? It doesn't matter what he used to be. It matters what he or she is now in Christ, because that's how God sees that person. And that's what Paul was telling Philemon, how you need to see Onesimus, not as a slave anymore. And Paul was going to hold him accountable. You see at the ending of the book, he says, oh, and one more thing, Philemon, get a guest room ready for me because I'm coming to visit. Now, we don't know if that ever actually got to happen for Paul or not. But I thought, oh, Paul, yeah, there you're going to make sure this actually happens. We see each other as in Christ. That's so important. Parents, that you do that with your kids. We do it with our kids as we're raising them, right? In many ways, academics, sports, music, whatever. Out on the basketball court, we watched a little bit yesterday's games, those little ones. And I wasn't there much, so I didn't hear it. But I hear it as those kids are growing up. The parents, dad or mom, will say to him, you know, come on, you know, you can do it. You just got to be more aggressive out there. Or you got to do this. I know it's in there. Just do it, right? Or with the schoolwork and the studies, I know you can do it, right? I don't think as parents, at least as God-fearing parents, we aren't telling them, oh, you can't do that. You can't do anything right. I hope we're not saying that. No, we're seeing the potential in them, aren't we? And encouraging them. And so God sees that potential in every one of us in Christ. And he's saying, you can do it. In Christ, you can do it. So, verse 17, just going on a little more. Paul's saying, so consider me a partner. Paul, Philemon, consider me a partner. Welcome him as you would welcome me. If he's done you any wrong, owes you anything, charge it to me. I'm writing this with my own hand. And then he says, I like this. Well, he says, charge it to me. And then he says, not to mention, you know, you do owe me your very life. What do you think he was saying? Well, Paul had led Philemon to the Lord spiritually. That's what he's getting at. And by the way, you do owe me your life, okay? So then he goes on. This is the challenge here, and it is awesome, and I'm excited about teaching this once again, and I pray some of you, yeah, you've got a hold of this strong. Others of you, maybe you've heard it before. Maybe others, you're like, well, I wasn't here in 2007, so I don't know if I've ever heard it before. So grab on as we go through this, okay? Who we are in Christ has nothing to do with what we have done ourselves. Nothing. It has everything to do with who Jesus is and what he has done for you through the cross and what he wants to do in you and through you. It can bring you out of your shyness. If you're not shy, then you don't have to worry about that part. If you are, trust me, I was there. How do we get to be in Christ? I'll close with this. Very simple. This is as simple as I can get it. It's been a while. I've showed you this before. It's been quite a while. I show it to the kids in confirmation. One, we have to acknowledge that we are a sinner, number one. We've got to realize that, first of all. that without Jesus, I'm on my way to hell without him. Once we come to that point, then we repent of our sin, right? I'm sorry, Lord. I need a Savior, and that is Jesus. And then we ask him, Lord, please come into my heart and make me a new creation. And so it's sort of like this. Let's say this is you and me, our individual lives, okay? Without Jesus, we are empty. We're born spiritually dead. You know that. You should know it. I say that often enough. We are born sinful because of Adam and Eve. And this is, we'll just say, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, okay? When I acknowledge my sin and repented of it, and I said, Jesus, I need you in my life. Please come and be my Lord and Savior. Then, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ comes to live within us. And as one of the in Christ realities is, if any man or woman is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have become new inside. The old is gone. All has become new. And when we receive Christ and we're filled there with the Holy Spirit, then guess what else happens? The true baptism. We are then baptized into Christ. He's in us. We are in him. That's how we get to be in Christ. So if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, then you are in Christ. If not, then we need to get to that point, right? We need to get to that place. Acts 17, Paul said, it is in him, in Christ. In him we live and move and have our being. And so as we get a hold of these in Christ realities, as I call them, excuse me, then you turn that back and confess it as thanksgiving to the Father. I won't get into all that today. See, true salvation has got to be from the heart. It can't just be mental assent. I know all about Jesus, Pastor Mike. Good. Yeah, the devil does too. And so do his demons. And James chapter 2, James being a little sarcastic with the Jewish people. You believe that God is one? He says, good. Even the demons believe that. And they shudder and tremble. Can't just be head knowledge. Has to be in the heart. Let's pray. Lord, oh, you've done so much for us. And I pray that we can grow and have this full understanding and this accurate knowledge of every good thing that you have given us in Christ. That the sharing of our faith can become more effective. Thank you for the congregation here this morning and many that aren't here for various reasons. Truly, Lord, a wonderful congregation, and I thank you for every family and home and individual that is a part of this church and this community. Bless them as we enter this new year and live in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our closing hymn is going to be from the Praise Book, number 23. Could you guess? In Christ Alone. Sort of fits, doesn't it? Let's stand together as we sing this. Stand. Please receive the benediction. And now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Remember, if you want your poinsettia, to pick that up afterwards.